Okay, good morning. Welcome back to our class learning at Ohel as we usher out Adar and prepare to usher in Nisan. So this week's parsha is Tazria. Tazria and Metzora often go together depending on the year. This year, of course, we had a whole extra Adar, so leap year, so the parshios go separately. And this week's parsha is Tazria. And Tazria and Metzora, to quote Rabbi Shmuel Golden, we enter the realm of Tuma and Tahara in full force, and we deal with concepts that are truly foreign to our lives today. Tazria and Metzora, perhaps there is off-spoken about in terms of Lashon Hara, because the Gemara lists seven causes for biblical tzara'as. By the way, it's translated as leprosy. That is incorrect. I say it every year. I'll say it again. Tzara'as is a spiritual illness with a physical manifestation. Leprosy, which I don't know anything about, but it is a physical illness. The body is physically sick. Tzara'as, what is translated as leprosy, is really incorrect because it gives the wrong impression. It is a spiritual illness. The person is spiritually sick with physical manifestation that indicates this illness. It's not contagious unless you pick up on their bad habits. It's not like, even though the person has to sit in isolation, Badav Yeshev, Michutza Machana Moshaval, he's to sit outside of all three camps. He's not allowed to associate with other people. He can't even sit with other people who are Tame. He has to grow a mustache, showing, indicating that he has to cover his mouth. He used his mouth inappropriately. He opened it too much. Talking. The mustache indicates closing the gate over the mouth. He tears Kriya on his clothes. For the people that he murdered with his Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara kills three Chazal say, the speaker, the listener, and the subject. He sits in isolation and he calls out about himself, Tame, Tame, Yikra. It's all phrases from our parsha that describe the condition of the Metzora. There are different kinds of tzaras, of course. There can be the affliction on the home, there can be the affliction on garment, there can be the affliction on body. It is diagnosed and treated under the care of the Kohen. So again, a further proof that this is not a physical illness. It is a spiritual illness. If it was a physical illness, it would be treated v'rapo yirapi, parsus mishpatim, mikan yesh rishus l'rofe l'rapo. The doctor's permission to heal. You don't go to the doctor because this has nothing to do with a body illness, but rather a spiritual illness. And in Tazria, that's Tazria, it's the diagnosis, the identification, the diagnosis, the treatment of the person who has tzaras. And in Metzora, you have the habilitation of the person and his process back to acclimating into society. Having said all that, we are not speaking about that today. We're actually going to focus just on a few psukim in the beginning of the parsha. Perek Yud Beis, that's how the parsha begins. It's a very short perek, actually. Yud Beis goes from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Ches. It's only 8 verses long, but it is the introduction, in fact, to Parshas Tazria. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor. How does the parsha begin? Isha ki Tazria v'yalda Zachar. When a woman bears seed, Tazria, Lizro, Azer, when she bears seed and she gives birth to a male child, Patama Shivas Yamim, she is impure for 7 days. By the way, this is not how we practice today, but it's biblically mandated a woman after childbirth is tummy for a much longer period of time today. Then, so nobody should take anything from here. Halacha lamaisa, nobody after childbirth today is impure for only 7 days. Kimei Nidas Dovasa Titama, like the days of her blood flow, she shall be impure. Ubayam Hashmini, and on the 8th day, Yimal Basar Alaso. What happens? Remember, this is if she has a male, so on the 8th day, she does a bris milah. Okay, so she should sit for 33 days after, it be Dmei Tahara. Okay, if she has a girl and she is impure for 14 days, okay. At the end, she has to bring karbanos, she has to bring an ola, she has to bring a chatas. I really want to talk about Pasuk Gimel. Ubayam Hashmini Yimol Basar Alaso. And on the 8th day, when she gives birth to a male, she shall do the child shall have Yimol, actually he shall do a brismila for the flesh of the foreskin. So I'm going to begin by quoting Rav Salvechuk. Okay. Ubayam Hashmini Yimol Basar Alaso. So the Rav says, on the 8th day, the flesh of the foreskin shall be circumcised, and this is the mitzvah of circumcision. There are two fulfillments, says Rav Soloveitchik, two fulfillments in the mitzvah of Mila. On the one, this is a mitzvah that you have to be a pretty far assimilated Jew to not do bris milah on the child. Even very secular Jews, it's a tenet of our faith. It really is. It's not one of the Aseret Dibros. It's one of the tenets of our faith that identifies us through the centuries and the generations as a Jew. Excuse me. On the one hand, the act of circumcision is conceptually similar to many other mitzvahs. It's very interesting, this piece of the Rav. There's a mitzvah to circumcise one's son. By the way, the mitzvah's on who?
The father,
correct? Just as there's a mitzvah to hold a lulav. So he says conceptually, there's a mitzvah to each mura matzah. There's a mitzvah to take the arba minim. There's a mitzvah to blow shofar. There's a mitzvah to circumcise one son.
Amen.
Sorry. Thank you for the water. Okay, so that's on the one hand. On the other hand, a new status is conferred upon the person through milah. One who takes a lulav, listen to what the Rav says, is the same person before and after the mitzvah. His status has not changed. So yes, he's holier, his neshama just has an extra mitzvah, he has an extra schus, but he was a Jew before, who is shomei Torah mitzvos, and he's a Jew after, who is shomei Torah mitzvos. His status has not changed. I'm sorry.
Allergy.
I know, it's not working. Excuse me, I'm sorry. After Mila, however, it's funny because I had a Rakola in my pocket. So yesterday I'm like, oh no, Pesach's coming. I shouldn't be walking around with Rakolas in my pocket just in case. Thank you. I just took it out when I was cleaning my pantry. Okay, thank you so much.
Cola and coffee.
Perfect. Green tea, we'll try this one. Let's see how I do with the candy. Thank you. On the other hand, a new status is conferred upon the person through milah. One is the same if you take the lulav before and you're the same after. After milah, the child becomes a ben bris. So the father, through doing milah, changes the status of his child, which is very interesting. Only then can he enter the mikdash, once the child is a ben bris. Only then can he bring sacrifices. And arel is not considered part of Am Yisrael in many sense. Milah is an integral part of conversion. So it's not a regular mitzvah where you're the same before and you're the same after. You see that it actually changes the status of the individual. After conversion, the individual is fundamentally changed. After milah, the individual is fundamentally changed. These two aspects of the mitzvah of milah. So one is that it's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. That's one aspect. And the aspect of totally changing the individual status are reflected in the two blessings that are recited at the bris milah ceremony. The first bracha, blessed are you Hashem, was commanded us concerning circumcision, refers to the act of milah. Make a mitzvah before you say, you make a bracha before halal. Make a bracha before achilas matzah, you make a bracha before netilas lulav, so you make a bracha on the mitzvah itself. Ubayam hashmini yimol besar arlaso. Okay. According to Beinu Tam, Tosfos Pesachim 7a, the second bracha, who has commanded us to bring us into the covenant of Avram, our forefather, the achniso beviso shal Avram Avinu, refers to the change of status. Avram Avinu was not the same person before milah. Milah occurs in Perek Yud Zion. And Avram is 99 years old. And he's not the same person before milah as he is after milah. So these two aspects of milah. One, you're doing a mitzvah. Avram, listen to the word of God. So I have a mitzvah to do milah, like I have a mitzvah to do and clean out my chametz and eat matzah. And then you have a blessing, lachniso bevriso shal Avram Avinu, when I enter the child into the covenant of our patriarch Abraham. So that represents what?
Change in status.
Exactly. Avram could not become a father to Yitzchak until after his bris milah. Perek Yud Zayin is the milah. Ba'etam ayam azep. Excuse me, in the middle of that very day, Avram did bris milah and Yishmael his son and all Yelidei Beis. So Perek Yud Ches is, what's the beginning of Perek Yud Ches? Vayera elav beilonei mamre v'yoshev, vayera sham elav beilonei mamre v'yoshev pesach ha'olah. Why did the Malachim come to say that now that you have had milah, you will be able to conceive a child with Sarah to become the father of the Umay Yisraelis? His status changed. So these are the two blessings that we make at a bris milah ceremony. The evil Roman governor, Turnus Rufus once asked Rabbi Akiva, this is brought down by the way, Medrash Tanchuma on our Parsha, Tazria Zion, as quoted by Rav Soloveitchik. The evil Roman governor, Turnus Rufus, once asked Rabbi Akiva, if God hates the uncircumcised, the Arel, why did he create man in an uncircumcised state? If Hashem wants you to be perfect, so why did he create you like this? Rabbi Akiva rejoined, does the earth yield bread? That's Rabbi Akiva saying.
You have to work.
Hashem, you can't just eat raw wheat. So why doesn't the ground grow loaves of bread? Why doesn't the ground grow challah? Why doesn't the ground grow bagels? You got to work for it. In his rhetorical response, Rabbi Akiva conveyed, just as Hashem desires, man should bring forth bread or anything else through his effort. It is only man who can sanctify himself. We are charged with the task of self-sanctification. Through asiyas and mitzvahs, we change the people that we are. A person who observes Torah mitzvahs is not the same as a person who does not observe Torah mitzvahs. They're the same human being, they're the same living organism, but there is something elevated, something kadosh, something different. If man wants to attain holiness, the initiative rests with him. If man wants to attain holiness, the initiative rests with him. And in fact, I'm going to take a break for a second. It relates to a Rashi in last week's Parsha. The Pasuk says in last week's Parsha, Al tishaktsu, right at the end of Shemini, Al tishaktsu es nafsho seichem, do not make your souls abominable or disgusting, b'chol asheretz hashoreitz, with any creeping creature, v'lo titamu b'hem. Don't be impure or defiled to them. Vinit meisim bam, you will become defiled. Rashi says, Vinit meisim bam, im atem mitamin bahem ba'aretz, af ani mitame eschem ba'olam habi, v'yeshiva shel malach. If you defile yourselves down here, Rachmana Litzlan, I will ensure that you are defiled above. What is Rashi teaching you? On the flip side of that is if we make ourselves kadosh down here, then we will be Kadosh above, ba'olam habu b'yeshiva shamala. Says Rashi further, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, k'shem sh'ani kadosh, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Just like God is holy because he is our God, kach, so too, v'his kadishtem, you shall be holy, kadshu es atzmeichem l'mata. This is the point there of Soloveitchik is bringing up by Mila, which relates to the end of last week's parasha. Thank you, this was actually very helpful. It worked.
It always does.
It's very cool. Thank you. Okay. Very good. Baruch Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik says, if man wants to attain holiness, the initiative rests with him. And this is what Rashi tells us at the end of last week's parasha, when the pasuk says that I am Hashem, v'his kadishtem, v'yisem kedoshim, ki kadosh ani, you shall be holy because I, God, am holy. So the choice is up to us. So this is what Mila represents, that just like I have to work the earth to get bread, to produce bread, to grind the wheat, to harvest, not in that order. So too, I can perfect my body. He must circumcise himself, says Rav Soloveitchik. And then he quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel that we say at the Pesach Seder, actually. Va'avar alayich ve'erech mispos, we say this in the Haggadah. Ve'erech misposeses bidamayich, I passed over you. I saw you rolling in your blood. Va'amar B'damayichai, ve'avar alayich, I passed over you, ve'erech misposases b'damayich, I saw you rolling in your blood, ve'amar lach b'damayichai, through the blood you shall live, through the blood you shall live. Only through the blood, says Rav Soloveitchik, of his personal sacrifice shall man live on a holy plane. B'damayichai, through your blood. Through your sacrifice. Now, why two bloods? Very famous. Which two bloods are we referring to? Karban Pesach and blood Mila. Now, what is there? There's a very strong connection between this B'damai Chai Karban Pesach. This is the parasha that's going to be read here as we usher in Be'ezras Hashem Rosh Chodesh Nisan U'Biyam Hashmini Mal Basar Allah. So the connection between Mila and Karban Pesach, yes?
That these are both indications of a commitment to Hashem at personal sacrifice.
Okay, they are also a commitment to the destiny of Klal Yisrael. they're also both a commitment to the destiny of Klai Yisrael. What marks, it's well known that Yimach Shmam V'Zichom, we should never have such a thing. But the Nazis would often, I read a fascinating story about I don't want to call her a maid, a housekeeper who agreed to save this little boy. Gertruda's Oath. I highly recommend it. Gertruda's Oath. Fascinating book. It's on my website, is recommended reading. Truly fascinating. But when she would travel with this little boy who she saved from the home, one of their biggest fears was on the buses and in public is that the Nazis would say that the child should pull down his pants because, of course, it was one of the quickest and fastest and truest ways to check the status of this child. So not only are we showing dedication to Ribbono Shel Olam, there's many mitzvos that show dedication to Ribbono Shel Olam, but we're showing also dedication to the destiny of Knesset Yisrael. Those Jews who didn't want to be part of Knesset Yisrael, they died during Malchus Choshech. Rashi clearly says that Rishayim Hayu Ba'oso Hadar U'Meisu B'Shloshes Yimei Afeda. They were Rishayim. Rashi says Shalom Hayu Ratzim Latzeis. They didn't want to go. Why? We don't want to be part of this people. Tov Lanu La'Avod Mitzrayim L'Musayim B'Midbar. We just want to die. We want to live here in Egypt. We don't want to cast our lot with Knesset Yisrael. And these two mitzvot show commitment not only to their Ribbono Shel Olam. There are many mitzvot. They show commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. These mitzvot show commitment to being part of a klal, to being part of the destiny. What is the Karban Pesach? The Karban Pesach is V'lakachu Shcheinu HaKarav Al Beiso. You should take with your the Salabayis, you should take, it's Perek Yibbeis, the beginning of Perek Yibbeis, in Shmos, Parshas Bo, right after Rosh Chodesh. So we are told right after the command, HaKodesh HaZalachan, Rosh Chodesh, HaMishul HaLacham Mechad Sheyashana, and then we are told on the 10th of the month that each person should take Salabayis, Salabais Avos. You should take a lamb for your house, a lamb for the father's household. V'im yim'at habayis miyos miser. There's a halacha that you can't leave over any of the Karban Pesach. So you only have four people in your house. So four people are going to eat a whole roasted animal. So what should you do? V'lakachu Ushcheino Hakarov El Beso. Just like Bris Mila represents my determination to cast my lot with this people, so too Karban Pesach is the sense of Chabura, in fact, of Salvecha quotes in his Chumash on Shemos. Fascinating. There's one opinion of Chazal that Chabura, brotherhood, is so intrinsically tied to Karban Pesach that there's one opinion in the Gemara. I don't know if we paskin like this or not. Unfortunately, we don't have the Karban Pesach like this today. Anyway, that an individual cannot even bring the Karban Pesach. It must be in the form of community. It must be in the form of Chabura. So Rav Salvechik says he must circumcise himself. Further, there are only two mitzvos asei, two positive, I don't like the translation of mitzvos atzei and mitzvos los atzei is positive and negative. I try very hard to stay away from that because that indicates that some mitzvos are positive and that some mitzvos are negative. It should not be you shall do and you shall refrain from doing is much more accurate and much more helpful connotation. I don't know why mitzvos aser translate as positive mitzvos and mitzvos lo taseh is negative. I understand because you shall not do. So then just say you shall refrain from category and you shall do. Just something to keep in mind before we identify any mitzvos as negative. There are only two mitzvos aser. Two you shall do mitzvos. It's hard not to say positive. That's how we translate. That if you don't do them, you're chayiv kares. It's these two mitzvos that we're talking about. The only two mitzvos asik that if you refrain from partaking, the punishment is chayiv kares, which is kares is cut off either premature death, rachman alitzan, or kilui banim, rachman alitzan. What is this? Mitzvahs mila? And Karban Pesach. Because not only do you not show commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but you don't show commitment to Knesset Yisrael. So if you don't want to be part of Knesset Yisrael, but Darach Shadam Rotze Lelech Ba'amolichin. Also, so Ribbono Shel Olam says, you don't want to be part of this people. You don't want to share their destiny. You don't want to knock on the door of your neighbor and say, come have Karban Pesach with me. You don't want to risk being physically identified with the stamp of a Jew. So therefore, you won't? Yes.
So I think there's another parallel between these two mitzvahs. Historically, Bris Mila has been one of the most dangerous and risky mitzvahs that we've sacrificed ourselves to continue. Karban Pesach was also a risk because the cow was sacred to the to right. It was one of their gods, and to actually shech the cow and shmir and to shech the any
lamb.
Animal, a lamb rather. I meant to say lamb. And smear its blood on your doorposts, and they couldn't do anything to you. That was a tremendous risk, and they did it. They went into this knowing that it was a risk, and they did it for Hashem.
Okay, so what you're saying, I'm going to elaborate, because it was only a one-time risk in Egypt. But throughout the years, Pesach has also been a big risk. You know, I've read about it. It's fascinating. In the time of the Inquisition, you know what the Inquisitors would do? They would go to the marketplace the week before Pesach, and they would observe who were buying a lot of certain vegetables, and they would arrest them as being conversos. Moranos is also a very derogatory term, by the way. They would arrest them as being conversos and try them on the Inquisition because they would know which vegetables you are buying. So not only has Bris Milah been a risky mitzvah, we live in a time and in a society where still, I don't know for how long, but still, Bris Milah and Korban Pesach are not not Korban Pesach, but the celebration of Pesach. Today, we don't appreciate, we don't appreciate the risks involved and the Mesiras Nefesh involved and the aspect of the Erech Misposeses. God sees us rolling in the blood. That does not always have the connotation of life. That can also sometimes have the connotation of death. We fail to appreciate, because of the ease of the society in which we live, that these two mitzvos are not always easy and are not to be taken for granted, and that you cannot always go to the market and buy celery and maror and potatoes and ingredients for charoses so easily. That was the mark of a converso, was the mark of a Jew, just like Bris Milah is the mark of a Jew. But it signifies our determination to cast our lot with our people and with God. Continuing with Rav Soloveitchik, the role of man in the endowment of holiness is a central theme of halacha. God gives us a neshama tahora, but kedusha is up to us. God gives us, I'm repeating that, a neshama tahora. The neshama is pure. You have a clean slate. You have a beautiful, pristine, pure life force. But kedusha? Once again, quoting from the end of Shmini. V'hiskadishtam. You have a command to make yourself holy. V'yisem kedoshim. You have another word. Make yourself holy. Ki kadosh ani. We have a command. Again, next pasuk. Oh, you want to hear what the next pasuk is? Last week's parasha, Yod Aleph Mem Hei. It's related to Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you came out of Egypt and you chose not to die in Shlosha Simei Feila and you wanted to be part of Knesset Yisrael, so you know what the Ribbono Shel Olam says? Ki ani Hashem hamala eschem eretz Mitzrayim. Because God took us out of Egypt, which we're going to sit down very shortly and celebrate at the Pesach Seder. We have to be holy. God does not automatically make us holy. If man chooses to profane himself, he can profane himself. And if man chooses to elevate himself, he can elevate himself. Says the Rav, the role of man in the endowment of holiness is a central theme in halacha. The role of man on the endowment of Kedusha. For example, listen to this. If a sofer writes a Torah scroll and does not explicitly note the sanctity of the name while writing the name, then what's the halacha? Neither the name nor the scroll have any sanctity. Why? He wrote the name, but he didn't have the kavana of Kedusha. The loftiness of the text makes no difference. The fact that you just wrote the Aseres HaDibros, the fact that you wrote Parshas Kedoshim, the fact that you wrote any of the other words of the Torah makes no difference. Without the intention of writing the name for the purpose of vesting the scroll with holiness, even the ultimate expression of faith himself. You just wrote the Shema. It is profane because you don't have the intent, the striving, the yearning, and the kavana for Kedusha. And that's how a Jew has to live his whole life. And sometimes it's something that manifests in society. Sometimes we go through the motions without the intent of who we are working for, why we are working, without the striving for holiness. It's very easy to go through the motions of Yahadus. And it's easy to go through the motions of Halacha, especially in our society. Right? There were times when people had to have tremendous Mesiras Nefesh for the action of Halacha. We spoke about some of those times. If you were a converso living during the time of the Inquisition, so it wasn't so posh. You couldn't buy carrots, and you couldn't buy celery, and you couldn't buy carpas, and you couldn't buy the mara, whatever you use, whatever your minhag is. So there were times in society when ve'avar alayich ve'erech misposesis b'damayich ve'amarech b'damayich ay ve'amarech b'damayich ay referred to the sacrifice of action. The sacrifice of the action of Korban Pesach, of taking the sheep or taking the lamb, of buying the vegetables, of figuring out, Rabbi Lau, one second, please let me finish my thought. Rabbi Lau tells in his Haggadah around the Pesach table, I don't know if it's out of print or not. I so recommend it. It's so beautiful. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, Around the Seder Table. It's published by Yedioth, like as in Yedioth Achronot, by Yedioth Books. I don't know if you can get it or you can't get it. And he tells such an impactful story that when he was on one of the Batei Din, I don't remember which city, he was on the Beis Din, and a certain convert, George, came to the Beis Din. He had arrived in Israel the day before. And he came with two witnesses, an elderly gentleman and a Chabad younger man. And he wanted a certificate that he was authentically Jewish, this George. So he comes before the Beis Din and he tells them his story, and his mother's a pediatrician in Russia, and etc. And the Chabad man says, as proof that that George is Jewish, he tells the following story to the Beis Din. The Beis Din, what's the story? That George's mother is a chronic smoker. That's not the point of the story. But every day of the year, she smoked a couple packs a day. But every day of the year, she would set aside two cigarettes from her pack. And when Nissan came, she would contact this individual for flour, and they would trade. They would have a barter. What was the trade? She would give the cigarettes she saved up all year, and he would give flour. And in her home, she would bake matzah. And Rabbi Lau called her from the Beis Din. Rabbi Lau called this mother, who still lived in Russia, and he spoke to her, and he said to her, I don't know if the matzahs you baked are halachically kosher, but they are dear and precious to God, and you live all year with Manishtana Halayla Zos, Shabbachalas Anu Ochim Halayla Zekulo Matzah. You live with this reality all year. But the Ma'ichai, so many times in many societies, in many places, in many decades and centuries through our history, the sacrifice of Mila and Pesach was a physical sacrifice for the action. In our society, and in our day and age, I humbly offer and dare to say that the sacrifice of B'damayi Chai, U'bayam Hashmini Yimol B'sar Lazo, has changed. I'm talking about in our affluent society, and in our place of religious freedom. I know somebody, my website designer, if anybody needs a website, he's great. He lives in Chicago, and he is Iranian, and his uncle still lives in Iran. And sometimes I say, Adam, how's your uncle? He continues to work for me, update my site, etc. Even after you design the site, maintain the site. I can't get over that today, that there's a Jew, his uncle, he lives in Iran. So I'm not talking about in societies today that are so far removed from our freedom of religion and freedom of expression and affluence. But I think that the Nisayon of Pesach and the Nisayon of Mila has changed. It's not anymore for us, I'm making that very clear, a Nisayon of action. It's not hard today. It's not a Nisayon today to buy vegetables. In fact, they sell matzah in Costco even. They sell gefilte fish and kadam grape juice in Costco. And there's no inquisitor checking what we buy. And Bris Mila is Baruch Hashem. We should never know another way. Celebrated, and it's not difficult today in terms of the action to bring the baby to Mila. What's changed? What's different? The Rav says the role of man in the endowment of holiness is a central theme of halacha. If one writes the name without the intention in the Sefer Torah, then even though he wrote Perek Vav of Devarim, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, there is no holiness. The Sefer Torah is profane. I'm not saying anything halachic. I'm not saying something halachic about Pesach or Mila. I'm saying something very hashkafic. Now, what intention do we have with this B'damayi Chayi? Are we intending to proverbially sacrifice our neshama tahora for the Ribbono Shel Olam? Do we endow our lives and our asiyas hamitzvos with kedusha? And I'm saying that it's something that we should all ask ourselves. What is the purpose of all of our amelus? The action today is not difficult. The kavana today is sometimes very difficult. A Torah scroll is invested with holiness by man. So in other words, you could have the parchment. I know nothing about Safrus or about kosher Torah scroll. You could have the kosher parchment. It could be bound together properly. The ink could be perfect. The osios could be with perfect shape. He knows all the crowns. It's legible. He wrote all the words. He didn't miss a letter. It could be lacking kedusha. Not through action. The action was fine, but through intent. A Torah scroll is invested with holiness by man. Our homes, our Seder tables, our children, the act of Mila is invested with holiness through man. God gives us the platform and the ability to carry out the action and the raw material. The question of what we do with it. And, oh, I didn't finish the story of Bailao. So I'm so sorry. So,
got to backtrack.
So, yeah, 1 second, because I was going to bring it up again, and then I realized I didn't finish in the first place. So he says to her on the phone, I don't know if the matzahs that you bake are kosher according to halacha, but you have the mesiras nefesh for matzah all year. And then with the mother still on the phone, listen to the end, because the climax of the story brings together the two mitzvahs that we're talking about. Rabbi Elau is brought down around the Seder table, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Elau, insights to the Haggadah, and he says to George, while the mother's still on the phone, George, I declare you are a Jew. Your name is no longer George. Your name is Gershon. Based on the mitzvah of matzah and the testimony. And his mother says on the other end of the line in Yiddish, that's exactly the name his father gave him at his bris milah 42 years ago.
Wow.
We invest, and we have to ask ourselves, do we feel any sense of mesiras nefesh for the mitzvah of Mila? Do we feel any sense of mesiras nefesh for the mitzvah of Pesach? When it's so easy, what happens to the damayi chayi in terms of our kavana? A sacrifice is consecrated through man's designation. Says the Rav, it is Knesset Yisrael who sanctifies the festivals, the Yomim Tovim, through the establishment of the new month. What is Rosh Chodesh called? Kiddush HaChodesh. The neshama tahora is by God. The ability to be kadosh is in man's hand. Whether sanctity is vested in physical matter or in time, we find only few instances where man is not the active participant in the establishment of holiness. So yes, it might be easy to carry out the action, but the question for us today is, where do our kavanos lie? Rav Soloveitchik interestingly points out elsewhere in a totally different piece, there was the patriarchal covenant and the Sinaitic covenant. Why do we keep mitzvos? Because of which covenant? The covenant with the patriarchs? Or the covenant of Sinai? Patriarchal covenant or Sinaitic covenant? Bris Milah appears much earlier, we already mentioned it, in Perek Yud Zayin of Bereishis, right at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha begins in Perek Yud Beis, Lech Lecha Me'arz, Lech Lecha Me'arz, Lech Lecha, and Lech Lecha ends in Perek Yud Zayin with Bris Milah, Ba'atzim Hayom Hazeh. That is the covenant with Avram Lach Niso, Bevrish Shel Avram Avinu. Why do we keep Milah? Because of Parshas Tazria, because of the Sinaitic covenant, because we were all endowed with Kedusha, Va'atem Tiyuli, Mamlachas Konim V'goy Kadosh, because we were invested with the ability to harvest Kedusha, we have a mitzvah in Tazria. Yes, Halim was waiting to say something before.
I just wanted to say, it's the Alilot Hadam, where all the Goyim They blame the Jews for their blood in the matzahs and...
Very nice. The blood libel was always based specifically on the Christian child who was killed, and the blood was used in matzah. It's exactly right. So they take these mitzvahs of blood, through which, bless you, we dedicate ourselves to God and to the destiny of Knesset Israel, and they use this very blood as a libel for our destruction and ruination. Very nice. Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, in the beginning, when you first started talking about Tama and Tara, you said it was 8 pesukim,
Say it again, please.
The first parak, you said, was 8 pesukim.
In our parsha.
In the parsha.
Oh, very nice.
About Mila.
Very nice. Beautiful. Parak Yud Beis is 8 pesukim long. Very nice.
That's the introduction. The first step to becoming Tahar is to have Mila, to change your status. Because without changing your status, you never get into Tara.
Very nice. Beautiful. Very, very, very nice. Yes, was your hand just out there? Okay, beautiful. The Gemara tells us very, very nice. In Masecha Shabbos, Kufu Amid, Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, Tanya was taught in a Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol mitzvah shekiblu aleim besimcha, any mitzvah that Israel accepted upon themselves besimcha, kigon, mila, like Mila, Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Sos Anochi al Imasecha, Kemotse Shalom Rav, I rejoice, Sos Anochi al Imasecha, I rejoice over your word, Kemotse, Kapitol Kufi Tess of Tehillim, like one who has found abundant spoils, Adayin Osin Oso Besimcha, any mitzvah that we accepted our pulse, upon ourselves with Simcha, Amavinu imbued that Koach within us, even though we don't keep Mila because of the patriarchal covenant, he did it in the midst of that very day, he didn't hide his Mila. He didn't go into the tent. He didn't care who saw and who knew. He wasn't afraid of the inquisitors and the late Sanim and the detractors, the late Sanim Adar. He did Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. Kigon Mila. So every mitzvah that we accepted upon ourselves with Simcha, like this mitzvah of Mila, which we said you have to be very far removed as a Jew not to do the mitzvah of Mila. So Sanochi Ali Matsacha Kamotse Shalrav Adain Osim Oso Besimcha Vechal Mitzvah Shekibu Aleim Bikitata. Any mitzvah we accepted upon ourselves begrudgingly, Kigon Arayos, like promiscuous forbidden behavior, Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says. And the Gemara says there, Rashi quotes it, the people were grumbling and crying about the laws of Arayos. Oh, even in this realm, the Torah is to tell me what to do. Even here, the Torah tells me what to do. Al iske mishpachosav adain osim oso bikitata. They still observe contentiously, or they still observe begrudgingly. It's interesting that to consider that statement, because unfortunately, Arayos is something that does permeate our society. And yet, Bris Mila is something that is so firmly entrenched into our society. The Gemara says if we accepted it besimcha, like Mila, we keep it besimcha. And if we accepted it begrudgingly, then we keep it begrudgingly. 1 second. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kol mitzvah shemasu Yisrael atzman aleihem lemisa. What does that mean? Shemasru aleihem lemisa. Any mitzvah that we were willing to
sacrifice
ourselves, give up our blood for, to death. B'shas Gzeiras HaMalchus, at the time of the Spanish Inquisition, at the time of Nazi Germany, at the time of Communist Russia, any mitzvah we were willing to be moser nefesh, kigon avodas kochavim umila, like idol worship and mila, adayin hi buchzakes biyadam. It is still very muchzakes, like from the word chazak. It is very strongly held in our hands. Mitzvah shalom masu Yisrael atzman aleim lemisa. However, a mitzvah that Israel did not give themselves over to death. B'shas gzeiras hamalchus, at the time of the gzeir of the malchus, kegon tefillin adayin hi merupa biyadam. It is weak in their hands. But you see here from the Gemara, for the purposes of our shir today, that mitzvahs milah is a mitzvah we accepted besimcha, and therefore we tenacious
tenaciously
cling to that mitzvah. One, besimcha, and two, we are not willing to give it up, even when threatened by death. So again, you see the commitment of our forefathers. And when I say forefathers, I don't only mean the patriarchs. I mean the generations that came before us who were willing to be moser nefesh for this mitzvah. The Sefer HaChinuch says, so the Sefer HaChinuch does not comment on the Mila in Parshas Tazria. Sefer HaChinuch comments on the, written anonymously in 1300s in Spain, the Sefer HaChinuch comments on the mitzvah of Mila back in Lech Lecha, when Avraham Avinu is commanded. So he says in Lech Lecha, there's one mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of Mila. He says, what's the mitzvah in by Avraham? Zos brisi, this is my covenant. Asher tishmuru beinu veinechem, you should guard between me and between you and your children after you. Hi malachem kol zachar. Sefer HaChinuch says, v'nich pala b'seder isha kitas riach. The mitzvah is repeated where? In our parsha, in Parshas Tazria, as the pasuk says, "Ubayam Hashmini Yimal Basar Alaso." So the Chinuch says this is brought to us twice: one time by Avraham Avinu, and one time in our parsha. He says many mitzvos have been doubled. Okay. Then he explains what exactly the mitzvah is, how exactly you cut away the foreskin. Okay, Mishar Shei Mitzvah Zu, and this is what the wicked Roman emperor, governor, Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, what is the point? What is the root? What are you doing? So the Chinuch says very importantly, Mishar Shei Mitzvah Zu, the root of this mitzvah. Lefi Sheratza Hashem Yisparach, Likboa Ba'am, God wanted to implant in this nation, Asher Hivdil, who are separated. Liyos Nikra Al Shmo, we are separated, we are called on God's name. Os Kavua Begufam, Lahavdilam Mishar Ha'amim B'tzurah Guftam. I'm going to repeat it. Ot Kavua Begufam, Lahavdilam Mishar Ha'amim B'tzurah Guftam. Or, Os Kavua Begufam, Lahavdilam Mishar Ha'amim B'tzurah Guftam. What did he want? To make us different, to distinguish us with a physical sign, a Kavua sign, Permanent physical sign to separate us from the rest of the nations with the form of our body. Why? Kemo shehem uvdalim mehem b'tzurat nafshosam. Kemo shehem uvdalim b'tzurat nafshosam. Just like our souls are different. Heim ratzim v'anu ratzim. They run and we run. Hey, Matzim, they run to sit at the street corners, Leoshve Karanos, Va'anu Ratzim, Labate Midrashos. Just like the Tzura of our Nefesh, the formation and shape of our soul. Asher Motzam Umuvoam Einenu Shove, its comings and its goings is not equal to the soul of the Umbas Olam. V'nikba Ha'evda Beguas HaZahav, and this distinction was put on the golden orb, which refers to the male organ. Lefishu siba likiyum hamin. It is the kiyum hamin. The propagation of the species continues through this organ. Milvad sheyeshvo tashlum tzuras haguf. Sheyeshvo tashlum tzurat haguf. We have the ability to perfect, to fulfill, to make perfect the shape of the body. V'ha'am hanivchar. The chosen nation, Chafetz Hashem Yisparach, Lahashlim Tchunato. Lahashlim Tchunato. So what does God want from us? That we should be perfect? He does. I don't mean that. What does God want from us? Let me rephrase. That we should start off perfect, created perfect, that we don't need to work on ourselves, that we don't need to strive for holiness, that everything comes ready-made and ready-prepared. Does God want us, said Rabbi Akiva, to just take a loaf of challah out of the ground? No. You have to work hard. The temperature of the water has to be right. The yeast has to be fresh. You have to have the right amount of salt or you kill the recipe. The right amount of flour, it'll be too dense. The right amount of sweetness to balance out the salt, whether it's honey or whether it's sugar. Then the temperature in the room has to be right so that the bread will rise. Then the oven has to be the correct temperature so that it won't burn, so that it won't be underdone. Then you have to make a bracha. Don't forget to be mafresh challah, parshas Shlach. So it wouldn't have been, wouldn't it not have been much easier to take the challah out of the field, ready-made. Why do I need a stalk of wheat? Never mind, before it gets to my kitchen, they have to plant the wheat, fertilize, maybe they have to use pesticides, put in a scarecrow, now they have to harvest, now they have to mill. Wouldn't it have been easier to just give me the challah? Mm-hmm. Yes, it would have been much easier, but what would that have done for me?
Nothing.
It would have satiated my physical self. That's it. It would have been very good. I'm sure that God's challah would be perfect tasting. It would have been delicious. But that would have been no completion on the part of man. That would have been too easy. That's not the tafkid of man in this world. V'ha'am ha'nivchar, I'm repeating. Chafetz Hashem misbarach la'hashlim tchunaso. V'ratza lihiyos ha'hashlama al yedei ha'adam. V'lo baro shalei mibeten. V'ratza lihiyos ha'hashlama al yedei ha'adam. God wanted the completion, the perfection, the shleimus of man to be al yedei ha'adam. You gotta work. V'lo baro shalei mibeten. We were not formed shalei mibeten, perfect in the womb. We didn't come out with physical perfection. Lirmoz elav. This is an allusion to teach us. Ki ka'asher tashlum tzurat gufo. Just like man can complete and perfect tzurat gufo, the physical formation, al yado, through his hand, kein biyado lahashlim tzuras nafsho. Man has the ability to perfect and complete the formation of his soul. Behechsher pe'ulasav. How would you translate hechsher pe'ulasav? By his kosher deeds. His correct deeds. His correct actions. So, the Chinuch is teaching us, it's a symbolism. God wants us to work for perfection. We are the Am HaNivchar. But we are not Shalem mibetem. It's a mitzvah that we have been moser nefesh, the Gemara, from the Chazal tells us this, and we know it from our history. We accepted it besimcha, we keep it besimcha. We accepted it even in times of Shas Hashmad, and we are prepared to die for it in times since then. One second, I'm going to take your comment, please, after. I want to end with a beautiful story by Rabbi Pesach Krohn, because he is known not only to be a lecturer, but also to be
a
mayel. And it's really going to bring our sheer full circle in terms of, we quoted a story from Rabbi Lau about the Mesiras Nefesh of a Jewish woman in Russia for Karban Pesach, the proverbial Karban Pesach today. That's the Damai Chai of Pesach. This is the Damai Chai of Bismillah. Says Rabbi Pesach Krohn, I am quoting from Reflections of the Maggid, I have been blessed with the opportunity to be a Maya for more than 30 years. This was written a while ago, so it's longer today. October 2002. Wow. I've been blessed with the opportunity to be a Maya for more than 30 years. Add to that. I have participated in numerous brisin that were especially moving. In February 1999, Ivan Kralinsky, name has been changed, called me to perform the bris for his newborn son. Ivan was a recent emigre from the Soviet Union. He lived in Manhattan. He struggled with English. I repeated and spelled twice every item I needed him to purchase. Gauze pads, ointments, diapers, wine. Ivan and his wife, Natasha, not her real name, were not Shomer Shabbos. They wanted the bris according to halacha. I explained to Ivan that since the baby was born on Tuesday afternoon, the appropriate time for the bris was the following Tuesday. Ivan insisted the bris be done late in the afternoon. He would not miss his day of work because family and friends could not come in the morning. I told him as long as the bris was before sundown, it was proper. I thought he understood everything I said. I was happy he was having a bris for his son altogether. After all, he did not have a religious upbringing. He was born and bred in Russia. He knew very little about Yiddishkeit. He saw few brisin throughout his life. However, as Chazal teach, Rabbi Krohn quotes this Gemara, "Kol mitzvah shekiblu aleim besimcha kegon mila dain osim besimcha." Hence, tens of thousands of Jews like Ivan, who observe little if any of the mitzvahs, still make a point to have a bris with their newborn son. We scheduled the bris for 4:30 on Tuesday afternoon. I arrived at Ivan's Manhattan apartment at 4:15. I was surprised. Everything was very quiet. Usually you can hear noise from inside the room. I rang the bell. Perhaps they decided to have the bris somewhere else. They didn't tell me. Parentheses. This has happened to me more than once. Oh, that's Rabbi Krohn. The grandmother opened the door. I introduced myself. She said, come in, speak to my daughter. Natasha was sitting on the couch with the baby. She exclaimed, I knew my husband had it wrong. I told him last night to call you. I think he scheduled the wrong day. He told everyone tomorrow at 4:30. Ivan misunderstood the calculation of how we count for the eighth day. Where's your husband? I'll get him on the phone. I pictured Ivan in his office somewhere in downtown Manhattan. Not only had I made the trip to Manhattan from Kew Gardens for nothing, but I realized I would have to come tomorrow to do the bris that should have been done today. Ivan, I said on the phone with forced pleasantness. I thought I explained the bris was today. I see there was miscommunication. Perhaps I should have explained it better. Rabbi, it was my fault. How much time do we have left? What do you mean? I'm at the gym working out a few blocks from my house. You said before sundown. When is sundown? You get everything ready, I'll run over and we'll do the bris. I could not believe a non-observant person would be willing to do the bris without anyone here and would have some embarrassed explaining to do the next day. I said we had 20 minutes till sunset. He said, Rabbi, get everything ready. I'm coming. Within 10 minutes, Ivan came running into the apartment in his gym suit. I told Ivan he was the only male there besides myself, and he was about to be sundek. He smiled nervously. I told him, wash your hands. The bris was done. The only people present were Ivan in his gym suit and sneakers, Natasha and her mother dressed in house coats, and myself. He writes in parentheses, at least I was dressed for the occasion. Ivan and I embraced after the bris, and I told him how special he was. I said I would come back at 4:30 tomorrow. Don't tell anybody what happened.
Oh.
On Wednesday afternoon, as the guests assembled, we brought out the newborn infant. And I explained to everyone what happened the day before. Family and friends could not help but be inspired by Ivan's commitment and dedication to having the bris done at the right time on the eighth day. V'avar alayich v'erech misposesis b'damayich. V'amar lach b'damayichai b'damayichai. Our mitzvahs become so easy for us. We should ask ourselves, do we have the same level of dedication both to Pesach and to Mila that so many generations of Yidden had before us? Yes?
So, obviously, women come out of the Betzen absolutely perfect because we don't have to do anything.